Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We got JC lined up here on the Titan MR hotline. We're going to be joined in the second portion of the show by the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Frank Frange, to get his thoughts on Urban Meyer and what the Jaguars did in the draft. And I think after this week, I'm going to put the draft to bed. It's exhausting talking about the draft. But we're going to go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're going to be joined by JC. Good morning, JC. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm great. I have a draft trivia question for you, though, before you stick the draft to bed.
So, well, I mean, aren't you exhausted talking about the draft?
Actually, we spent about 20 minutes at lunch yesterday talking about it in the office. Yeah. But that was the first time we were all together having lunch. Hey, look, you know, I get it. It's come and gone. You know, the players are going where they're going. The stories are going to start being written. And, you know, listen, I think it's really great for these kids who are now getting a chance to live out their dreams. And also for some of those who didn't get drafted, you know, who still have a chance to play football with all those free agent signings that happened after the draft. They also have an opportunity. But QB, before I give you this very difficult trivia question that I think you might get, but I'm betting you don't, you got about an 18% chance of getting it, I do want you to know that my Yankees have won 9 out of 12.
Well, I was going to ask why you were wearing the damn hat today.
They've won 9 out of 12, and Stanton is actually starting to play like a guy whose finger doesn't hurt and is using his talent in the pinstripes for probably the first time since he's been there. Hopefully he can last the season, but it's doubtful. We'll see. At any rate, Corey Kluber throws he looks like the pitcher that they know he is, two-hitter the other day, and maybe New York can get competitive and be the team that, of course, they should be. So here's that question, QB, before you get on your big rundown of topics to talk about, because I know how structured and organized you are. The 51 selections over the last five drafts, for Alabama ties which team for the most NFL draft picks over any five-year span in the common draft area, which is since 1967. So,
Repeat the question without all the other ins and outs. Just give me the question.
51 selections over the last five drafts for Alabama. They've had 51.
Ohio State is my answer.
The answer is Southern Cal.
Okay.
That's why you weren't going to get it. That's a tough one because I guessed the same exact team. And my second guess was Georgia. But it's Southern California, and this is a school who's had trouble figuring out who they want to be their head coach. I guess they've settled on the fella they have now. But I didn't think that was the case. This came from Cole Kublik on Twitter, and I didn't know that Southern Cal had as many as Alabama since the in a 5-year span since the Common Draft area began in 1967, which I didn't even know that was true. So. I had no idea.
We got a couple of Facebook lives here. Rick said, talked about Grant Stewart, Mr. Irrelevant, who went to the Buccaneers, crazy linebacker from
Mr. Irrelevant.
Played at Houston. John says, Facebook Live brought to you by Mellon Law. I know we have exhausted the Tebow to Jax, but Tony Khan told Bleach Report that Urban really believes that Tebow can help the team. I think it's a lose-lose situation personally.
Well, ask Frank.
I'm going to ask Frank, but I've said my piece about this multiple times. I don't think he can play tight end at all in the NFL. Right. And I'm going on experience. I'm going on people who have played that position in that league saying he can't do it. Mm-hmm. Nothing against him. It's just
Reality is what anyway, it's called.
It's reality. That's exactly
it's
what
called,
it is.
It's called reality. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm done talking about that. We're going to talk to Frank about that. I wanted to bring up the news and notes of what happened with the Gators last night. Baseball stays hot. They beat Stetson. JC, you'd be excited about this because, you know, we are all about our spring sports.
There you are.
University of Florida.
That's why I have this.
We are expanding and adding on to the lacrosse and soccer facilities. Get you some of that, Alabama.
How many times have you been to those two places?
I've been a couple times. Okay. I was hoping, you know, the what Will Muschamp wanted to do was take over the lacrosse facility because that's where they practice during training camp.
Right.
And it was plenty of land out there. Make that the football-only facility is what Will tried to do while he was here. Move lacrosse and soccer practice over to where football practice is now, which honestly makes a ton of sense.
I got a better idea. Let's keep it all close to the stadium and make the old baseball area the football facility.
Why does it got to be close? It's still part
of campus. Just because I don't know why you want to get kids on a bus every day. I don't know. I mean,
you don't, Jason. Why would they be on a bus?
Well, isn't that area where the lacrosse stadium is kind of down there by Lake Alice, far off?
Okay, you didn't hear what I said. If it is a football-only facility,
yes,
they go to the football facility, they get dressed, they eat, they practice, they meet. You don't have to go anywhere else.
Oh, I'm sorry. They don't go to class, right? So that doesn't matter.
Well, they don't. None of them live on campus. So what does it matter?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Usually students go to class. I guess not at Florida.
You did. Here's what I'm trying
Zoom
to tell
classes
you.
Classes at Florida.
Kids. The only athletes that live on campus are a freshman. Nobody else lives on campus. So having it where it is, it's great. We're building it. But my point is, it would have made more sense to do it back in those days when Will Muschamp wanted to do it.
Well, we all know that.
It's good that they're adding on there. Did you see the Louisville baseball coach go off on Twitter?
Ah, no, but somebody mentioned it. What did he say?
Well, you know, Louisville is always a very good baseball program.
Yes,
I don't know what
their
record is this year, but they're going to be hosting.
Right.
And he just goes off in this interview on Zoom about his team has not played in a regional atmosphere the entire year. They're lackluster. They need to open up the ball. I mean, he just goes off.
The kids are apathetic because of the administrators is the way I look at it, and I understand that. These college presidents need to get their kids on campus, and I think that's part of the issue. I really do believe that. This is not a college environment or a college experience for many kids in college today because of something that we were worried about a lot more last year in terms of social distancing. Right now, things are opening up. If they weren't opening up, why would we be making a big deal out of these vaccinations? I understand it. I didn't see it, but I can almost tell you why he went crazy. Speaking of baseball, you know, the Gators, that game against Stetson, I think Florida's won something like 15
they've won
11 of their last,
out of the last 13.
I was going to say they've won 15 out of their last 17 at home, according to the Florida.
Home. I'm just talking about in general.
General. Yeah. Well, and that's pretty darn good.
And here's something interesting. Florida beat Vanderbilt this weekend, you know, was the first time the Commodores had lost two games in a row all season.
Yeah.
Well, Louisville beat them yesterday. And now the Commodores have lost three in a row. So
I would still count them in as a top eight seed. I wouldn't worry about it.
No question about it. No question.
Florida's
getting closer.
Every team seems to have there's a 3, 4, 5 game span during the year where they just kind of fall flat. But this is the time of, like we talked about this on Monday, this is the time of year whereas March is in basketball, May is in baseball, and it's obviously why. The regular season is coming to an end eventually here, and we're going to get into the postseason, and that's really what makes baseball season special, in my opinion. I love the regular season because it's their ball games, but the postseason is where you determine who wins and loses, just like in basketball or any sport. So I think, you know, May is a big month, and looks like the weather's cooperating with us here, and I hope that we get some really exciting games here soon.
Yeah, baseball's got three more SEC series left and the season's over.
Yeah, three weeks. That's it.
Softball has their last series of the year this weekend at home.
They're about 2 weeks ahead of baseball. Yeah, they're usually about 2 weeks
ahead. JC, did you see, as we're speaking with JC on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, we'll be joined by Frank Frangie, voice of the Jaguars, here momentarily.
Okay.
The championship for the 2020 college football playoff, the odds to win. Have you seen that?
Where'd you come up with those? Where'd those come up?
I just made them up this morning. They were on Twitter. What I like to do is when I wake up, I don't ever tweet anything. I just look for some nuggets or what have you. So obviously Alabama's your favorite at plus 300. Clemson's at plus 400. Ohio State's plus 700. OU at 800. The Georgia Bulldogs come in at plus 1,000. And then you got A&M, Florida, and Notre Dame all at plus 2,500.
Wow, A&M is a very interesting team to me because in the West, because of Jimbo is slowly creeping up, I think, that program, meaning I think they're recruiting better, and I think they'll get some really, really stud players, and they have been. He's a great recruiter. We all know this. That is the toughest division in college football. There is no arguing that. And I think that Alabama is the team that, even though it's sexy to say that Alabama would be your favorite now, there are just so many questions offensively that team's going to have to address with all of those superstars that left that team. And I think that goes for Clemson and Ohio State as well. But so I think there is some sort of a balance, but it's too hard. And I think it's somewhat unlikely that I would think Alabama with Bryce Young at quarterback, not knowing anything about how well he's going to do, would eventually win the SEC and win the national championship. And it's hard to predict who would, really. But if you look at teams on the upswing, I think Texas A&M is one you better watch out for over there in the West because I think they're getting some really good players.
Yep. They recruited well. Are you tired of living with chronic joint pain? There are new breakthrough treatments at QC Kinetics here in North Central Florida that not only alleviate your pain, they speed up the healing process. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. I know a lot of people that watch our show are in pain, so check them out. JC, I gave a nugget yesterday, and I saw the tweet. I meant to screenshot it, but here's what it was about. What year was it when it was Joe Burrow's senior year when they went to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama? It was like 48-40 or something. Remember that game?
Yeah, they won by – I think they won by 7 or 6.
Okay, but it was a shootout.
It was.
Do you know that every – skill player on offense, every wide receiver that started, every running back and every quarterback for Alabama's offense and LSU's offense was a first round draft pick?
I think it was confirmed on last week when Chase and Jones
I just think
it was unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
But, I mean, those teams have really had the luck of the they've really been impressive. I mean, the argument that I hear people try to have is who was better, 19 LSU team or 20s Alabama team. You can make arguments for both, obviously. I do think what Mac Jones did, though, and what Joe Burrow did are as rare as you'll find and probably won't happen anytime soon in college football in terms of quarterback rating, completion percentage, and numbers like that. So, you know, the statistics for those two players that we saw in successive years, to me, will not be replicated in who knows how long.
Modern
It'll
time.
Be a long
yeah,
time.
Probably not. Yeah. We had somebody on Facebook Live. I can't find it now, but they asked, did I see the rankings of the 2022 college quarterbacks? I did not. I know there's some site that ranks every starting quarterback in Division I football. I did not see it. So if they want to give us some information on that, I'd love to
help us
it.
Out with that. No.
Go ahead.
And I was also talking to a Florida fan at a Mexican restaurant. And he
You're
asked.
You're supposed to go to the Mexican restaurant tonight, JC.
That's
it's Cinco de Mayo, right?
Yeah. Well, I did Cuatro de Mayo as well. And so I might do Cuatro, Cinco, and Seis.
How many tacos did you
eat? No, I go for the Palooza Texana at Pepper's. But having said that, the person said, "Yeah, hey, what's Florida going to be? How are they going to be able to replace all those studs they had on offense?" I said, "Well, with new players that we don't know about." And then I said, you know, but what you should expect is that Florida's offense going into this year will have no resemblance whatsoever to what you saw last year. And I said, if you want to get an idea of what Florida's offense could be like this year, and I'm just guessing, pull up Nick Fitzgerald's senior year at Mississippi State. And that's the kind of offense I think we'll see at Florida, which, you know, look, they scored. They were effective. It's just a different type of a play calling, different style of player at the quarterback position. And I hope Florida fans don't get too loose on the guys that they have coming in now, because it's not fair to think that they're going to be, you know, Pitts, Trask, you know, and the guys, Tony, and Grimes, and so forth.
It's going to be night and day.
Shorter.
So I guess the 2022 or 21, whatever it is, quarterback rankings, they said Spencer Rattler's number one. He's talented.
I mean, he had a great freshman year toward the end of the season and was really effective. It took him a while to get his feet, to get his skis straightened out. But after that, he did have a whale of a season for a young guy. And yeah, Oklahoma's going to have all their bullets in the holster there. So I think that's going to be a very interesting league. I think the Big 12 has the potential of being one of the more exciting leagues, because I think it's going to be, you know, there could be 3-4 teams really compete for that with Oklahoma, Iowa State, Texas, and so forth. So I would say Oklahoma State. So I think that's got the potential of being a really exciting conference. Even West Virginia, I think, is going to be pretty tough.
Yep. Speaking with JC on the Titanomar Hotline, we'll be joined by Frank Frangie, voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars, momentarily. Nat says on Facebook Live, Emory is a better QB than Fitzgerald. We'll see.
We don't know that.
Don says Tebow would help the climate inside the locker room. He's a winner. There's no doubt about that, but that doesn't go very far.
I don't know. NFL locker room,
people don't care.
QB, maybe not. But look, these guys that are coming into Jacksonville right now, they don't care what Tebow did in Denver. They really don't care.
Well, it has nothing to do with Denver. I mean,
comes from a respect factor, okay? A respect factor. Yes, he won a national championship for the Florida Gators in 08 against Oklahoma. Okay, nobody cares right now in that Jacksonville locker room about any of that. He was a superstar at University of Florida. Whoopee. All of those players are superstars. He's a great guy, yes. But I think these players have, you know, today are focused on so many different things than history or who was a rah-rah guy back 12 years ago.
You're exactly right, because once you walk in that NFL locker room, it's all about you because it's your job.
Making
a
team.
If you win, if you lose, you don't give a dang. I mean, you want to win, obviously, but you don't care, because on Monday, guess what?
That
direct deposit is going in your account, win or lose. That's all they care about.
That's their career.
It's a business.
It's
a business. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. Major lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC on the Titanomar Hotline, you can send us a text on the Titanomar text line as well.
Did that direct deposit for Monday night happen on Tuesday, if you played on Monday night?
You know what? I don't think they had direct deposit when I was playing. You actually got a physical check on it was
in your mailbox in the football's building.
Yeah, or they'd have some little intern come around and hand it to you while you're sitting in your locker. But it was I can't remember if it was Monday or Wednesday you got your check. It varied from team to team.
Okay. All right. Well, some teams, you know, now we have Thursday night football. We have Sunday night football. We have Monday night football and, of course, Sunday. So back then you didn't have Thursday night football either. So
I don't know if I don't think I had – they had Thursday night when I played.
No.
I can't remember that far back, JC. It's been so long. It's been – what are we going into, 2021? It's been 15 years since the last time I played.
But you can remember the call on third down and six against Georgia. You know, what's he going to call? You can remember his playbook. You remember that.
I remember all my playbooks. That's easy.
Okay, that's easy, right? Yeah,
that's easy stuff for me.
Yeah. Well, payday was important too, QB. It was.
Yeah. JC, guess what time it is?
It's 8:20.
You know what time it is?
That's time for the Peachland Dental. Picks contest.
We got Peace Land Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte and surrounding areas. Visit them at peacelanddental.com and join us every Wednesday now when we break down our golf picks. So that's the only thing you can pick. Nowadays.
You had a good.
I won last week. Let's just make it that simple.
It was a good. Well, no, I'm just saying you pulled out a pretty good one there. Who finished third by himself? That's noteworthy, I would say. We got a big tournament though this week at Quail Hollow.
It's almost like the sixth major, the fifth major, like TPC.
Right. But. No, this is a big one. This is the biggest one other than maybe the memorial that Jack has this is not a major, but it's a tournament that all of the players love because they love the golf course. And it's a great field that gets up and shows up and then kind of gets warmed up for that next major, which, of course, we know this month will be the PGA Championship.
All right, JC, I'm going to let you go first.
John Rahm.
You love the Spaniard.
Well, I think he's pretty consistent, and he usually gets going right before and during a major. So I do think he's that kind of talent, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with the guy. I really like his game. I pick him every week, it seems like.
You do.
Yeah, X-Man. Give me Xander.
Well, he is. He's close, man. We still think about – how he played at the Masters and that one darn hole. Actually, it was two holes that hurt him, in that tournament that almost was his, but it was close. It just no cigar. I don't want to keep picking the same guys every week because it would be real easy for me to take Justin Thomas. And what value am I giving everybody here on the Peachland Dental Picks Contest by taking a guy that you're probably going to take since I won't take him? But really, I got to find somebody who's got a chance.
I got two guys that you're not going to pick, I can promise you.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt that one moment. I'm going to take it, and he's not playing that well, really, to tell you the truth, but I think he's going to break through and have a good tournament. I'm going to take Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay. I just saw my two favorite golfers are playing this week.
Yeah, so you're going to take one.
Ben Ahn and Sungjae Im.
No, although they are some of your favorites.
I love them. No, I'm going with Webb Simpson.
Oh, you do like him. Okay. I'm going to take
this is like one of his home tracks. So
Right. Well, I'm going to give you and typically this is a Patrick Reed kind of pick or a Dustin Johnson or a JT kind of pick. But instead, I'm going to give you the one of your favorites, Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know why you can't take that guy just because
he gets on my nerves. I mean, he's a good player.
Gets on your nerves.
It's so funny.
What's that mean? The average
fan thinks he wins every tournament. I think he's won, once this year, and he hadn't made a bunch of cuts either. Okay, my last pick, JC, Tony Finau.
Yeah, I don't know when he'll break through. I just don't believe he's a good enough putter to win these deals. He can win the Greater Greensboro Open, but I'm not sure about these big deals. He just doesn't make putts, but we'll see. He's got the talent. He can hit it a mile. He is accurate off the tee, but he just has trouble putting. I don't know what it is. Maybe he'll break through, and you'll look like a genius QB. So I've got Rahm, Fleetwood, and DeChambeau. You're going with Schauffele, Simpson, and Finau. Okay. Got it. Wells Fargo, baby. Wells Fargo Championship. And then, let's see, QB, what is the PGA in 2 weeks? Or
I think it's the end of the month.
We got Byron Nelson. Yeah, it's in 2 weeks. We got the Byron Nelson out there in Craig's Ranch, Texas, which is north of Dallas in McKinney. And then we've got the glorious PGA Championship at Kiawah Island in 2 weeks. So, two big warm-ups, this one and the Byron Nelson. Some will play this one and not play the Byron. Some will play the Byron and not this one. And then the PGA Championship. Boom.
All right, before we let you go, at Comfort Temp, comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. From now till May 31st, get our preventative maintenance plan for $169 and save almost 40% off the normal cost. Any maintenance schedule between now and May 31st will be entered to win a Nest thermostat with installation. This day in sports, JC, back in 1904, you know what happened?
Oh, wow. The Cubs won the World Series.
No. Some guy named Cy Young pitches the first perfect game in modern baseball as the Boston Americans, which you probably rooted for, beat the Philadelphia Athletics 3-0.
My mother did root for the Philadelphia Athletics, though. She would go to Connie Mack Stadium and watch them. Yes, she did.
And you don't have a hat for them?
Or were they the Phillies then? They may have been the Phillies. I don't know. Well, I'm getting a Phillies hat for you. I've got three new hats coming in today, actually, so I'll bring them on Friday. How's that?
Why are you getting new hats?
Well, I need them.
Oh, okay. If you say so.
I do.
Okay, JC.
All right, man. Have fun with Frank. Get them Frank's straight. Great. Yeah, I love
it. Get them
Frank.
Straight. Don't drink too many margaritas tonight or margaritas. Whatever you're going to be drinking.
Are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo at all?
I seriously doubt that. Don't drink too many Modelos.
Oh, those are excellent lagers. Excellent. And the dark's good, too. So.
All right. That's JC joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. My good buddy Frank Frangie talking about the Jaguars, Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, Trevor Lawrence, just a roster full of athletes. You're watching and listening. The Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Route Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TV Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Dave & Buster's, Nike, Palmetto Moon, Skechers, and coming summer of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, and Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're going to be joined by the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars, also has his own show, the Frank Frangie Show on 1010XL up in Jax. Good morning, Frank. How are you, my man?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. I know everything in Gainesville. By the way, I just drove through Gainesville. I like that scene, Celebration Point. It's like a new city. They've spawned a city in Gainesville since the last time I've been there. It's cool. Beautiful over there.
Yeah, and you wait till you see the HBC's restaurant, Frank. It's one of the nicest establishments I've ever walked in. It's a restaurant / museum. You know, they got the shoe he kicked the field goal with. They got the Heisman. They got every visor he ever wore. He's got plays drawn up, the wallpaper in the bathroom of some of his favorite plays. It's just they've done a tremendous job, and I can't wait for it to open up. And I'm sure he'll take care of the media boys.
You know what? And I would expect that. I know he will. So I can't wait to get over there. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, Frank. So let's talk Jaguars, obviously. That's why we brought you on with the draft. We've known for months that Trevor Lawrence was going to be the first pick. You've seen a lot of football. We've seen the Peyton Mannings, the Andrew Lucks come out. I feel like Trevor Lawrence is in that same group of those guys ready to play at a high level right away. Your thoughts on Trevor?
I mean, you're exactly right. Two or three things. Number one, he's got all the hard work, man. He's 6'6". He's got the great arm. He's accurate. His fundamentals are great. You would know that better than me, but he certainly looks pretty throwing it. And he's very athletic. With today's quarterbacks, with all the RPO and whatnot, they got to be able to run a little bit. So he's got all that. You know, what makes him special, though, is the great quarterbacks I've seen. And the world doesn't end if it goes badly for them. And he's that guy. He's got a really slow heartbeat. He's just a calm, laid-back guy. I think he's going to be really good. Now, look, everybody and their brother says he's going to be great. There's no dissenting opinions. Well, sometimes people are wrong, But I don't think so, man. I think he's a really good player. And he did all the right things when he got here. He embraced Jacksonville. You've been here enough, Shane. This is a laid-back city. This isn't like other NFL cities. It's laid-back. It's a blue-collar city. I think he's going to fit here great. I think people can't wait to see him get here. He's already here. He's looking for a house. Might have bought a house by now. He's moving here, like, right away. And I think people are excited about Trevor Lawrence for sure.
He's ready to take some of your money on the golf course, Frank.
And that's easy money, bro. Okay, he's got a lot already. That's easy money. You know that. Easy money.
Yeah. All right. So the second pick, they take Travis Etienne, which, you know, the so-called experts now say you should not take a running back in the first round, whether that's true or not. I love the guy. I know it's a bad comparison because he hasn't played in the league, but he reminds me of Alvin Kamara from the Saints, the things he can do out of the backfield. And I did hear a quote about Urban after the draft. You know, he'll be a third down guy. I think he may have initially be a third down guy, but I think he can be an every down guy.
Yeah. Urban really wanted Kadarius Toney. He made no bones about that. He said he was heartbroken when a pick went. The pick he was talking about was Kadarius Toney. That broke his heart. You've watched him coach, Shane. I think you're going to see Travis Etienne in a lot of situations. I think James Robinson, when the first game starts in September and I read out the starting lineups, I think James Robinson is going to be their running back. But I think Travis Etienne, I agree with you, he's going to be a weapon. I think they're going to play him in the slot some and run some jet sweeps. I think they're going to line him up at wide receiver to wide receiver screens. I think he's going to be the third down back. I think he's also going to be the backup. I think he slides ahead of Carlos Hyde now, so it's James Robinson, then Travis, then Carlos Hyde. Urban wants a weapon. He was infatuated with Percy Harvin all those years. He really wanted Kadarius Toney. He wants that guy that's got some hybrid in him. I agree with you. I think the comp to Kamara is a good one. I think ultimately Travis Etienne will be the starting running back as Kamara has become. Remember, he played behind Ingram and he did all that gadgety stuff when he was behind Mark Ingram, and then he became their guy. I see something similar here. Ingram and Kamara, James Robinson and Etienne, but he's fast. Shane, they got faster in the draft. It was a slow team. Urban's teams have been fast, Florida and Ohio State. And I think that's one of the things that stood out about it. And he's at the head of that class. He can really run.
Yeah. They take Tyson Campbell out of Georgia. What are your thoughts about that pick?
He can run. I probably wouldn't have done that. I probably would have gone Christian Barmore because he was still on the board. I think they needed a three technique. But they got to get faster, Shane. Travis Etienne can run. Tyson Campbell can run. Cisco, the safety they got, for his safety's good. He has 12 interceptions in 2 years, can really run. I think in this day and age in the NFL, you start three cornerbacks. Even though your depth chart says two and a nickel, you start all three guys. I think C.J. Henderson, Shaquille Griffin, who they got in free agency, and now Tyson. If everything goes perfectly, that will be the plan. They can all run. And Tyson Campbell's 6'1", about 195 pounds. He's built kind of like C.J. He's not a little guy. We'll see. So I probably wouldn't have gone there. I'd have gone D-tackle there because Barmore was still on the board. He went to the Patriots a few picks later, and the Patriots went up to get him. But I think Campbell, he's trying to make the team faster. I think that's what he did.
We're speaking with Frank Frangie on the Titan MRR hotline. You can follow Frank on Twitter at Frank_Frangie. We got a Facebook Live question here for you from Dan, brought to you by Meldon Law. Frank, what did the Jags do to address the O-line situation?
The biggest thing, the one guy they took was Walker Little. Walker Little's an interesting story, Shane. He was a 5-star, 6'7", 320, built kind of like Pacelli. He was a 5-star 2 years ago that went to Stanford. It was all Pac-12. He's a true left tackle. The only left tackle was a taller, more angular, kind of athletic. He's that guy. Then he got hurt at the end of the year, at the end of the 19 season. Still made all Pac-12. Last year opted out, so he hadn't played in a while. And so he's got a chance to be a very good player, but he hadn't played football in a long time. I think he's going to push the two tackles. Cam Robinson, the left tackle, Juwan Taylor from Florida, had a terrific rookie season. Wasn't so good last year. Something fell off last year. Same with Cam Robinson. The tackles are talented, one's from Alabama, one's from Florida, but they're young, bro. And I think he'll push them. So the main thing was they went and got a tackle that I think will push the two starting tackles. I think Walker Little will be a starting tackle here, maybe the left tackle at some point. But right out of the gate, I think he's going to push those guys.
The Cisco kid out of Syracuse, I think he's a pretty good player. Didn't he have a maybe drop because of an ACL a couple years ago?
Had an ACL last year, the early last year. But they think he's going to be ready. He says he's ready for camp. Chaney had 12 interceptions in 2 years. I mean, he's a ball hawk. And again, he's not your grandfather's safety, strong safety. He's almost like a linebacker. You remember the old guy, the old safeties were 220 pounds and they could fill the run, but they couldn't cover anybody. That was the old, remember the old strong safety?
Oh yeah.
They don't do that anymore, bro. They can all run. And this is a guy that can really run. I think he's got a chance to start here. They signed a safety in free agency, but I think they're going to, I think he's got a great chance. If he's healthy, he's a good player.
One of the most intriguing picks, and I don't think the Gator Nation remembers this guy, but a guy named Jordan Smith started his career at Florida, got caught up in that credit card deal back when McElwain was here, goes to junior college, and then I think he came out of UAB. This is a big dude that can run. I really like this pick.
Yeah, I do too. Shane, he's a little bit raw because of all the moving around. He's tall. He's almost 6'7". He's going to play behind Josh Allen. They're going to go to a 3-4. They're not saying it, but they're going to a 3-4. And he's going to be the outside backer who plays behind Josh Allen. He's probably more effective in nickel when the outside guys have their hand on the ground. He's a little bit raw. He's a little bit one-dimensional. But I agree with you. He could be the upside for Jordan Smith is really high. Haven't seen a lot of him. I think what you'll see is when he gets here, he'll be a situational guy. They'll use him as probably their third end in nickel. But I agree with you. And I don't remember him much at Florida. I know he's caught up in the credit card thing, right? And that's when he left. And the thing that Jordan Scarlett and all those guys were in. But I don't remember. You probably remember more about him.
I honestly don't remember him. I when I saw the draft pick, saw his size and how he kind of performed, you never know if it's going to translate to the next level. But it could be one of those sleeper-type late picks that Gak turns into a pretty dang good player.
And in time, I think he will. They think in time he's got a chance to be. Look, they needed some edge help. Look, he was 1-15. They weren't a quarterback away from being really good. They were a lot of players away from being really good. So I think down the road he helps him do.
Dylan Moses, Jag signed him as an undrafted free agent, had a tremendous career at Alabama, obviously had a bunch of injuries. What are the coaching staff? Do they think this guy could turn into a pretty good NFL player for him?
You know, it's interesting. There's a handful of guys that 2 years ago were high draft picks. Dylan Moses, I saw some mocks a year ago. People just, you know, they do those way too early 2021 mocks. I saw some after last year. He was in everybody's first round. So I don't know if he got hurt. You probably followed him closer than I did, Shane. Yeah, he's an inside linebacker type. He's probably more run stuffer than he is three-down guy. But I think he's a guy that could probably help him. More and more anymore, the undrafted guys don't make it. So it's a long shot. The undrafted guys got to play core four special teams. They got to play all four of them. They paid him a little bit. So when you get an undrafted guy that got paid a little bit, that means they think he's got a chance to make it, but it's harder and harder to make. But yeah, inside linebacker, tough guy, play the run a little bit. I think that's maybe probably backs up Miles Jack early on. Got a chance. Outside chance, I think, Shane, but a chance.
So realistically, Frank, I mean, you saw this team. You've seen them the last couple of years. Obviously, there's so much excitement with Urban being the coach with Trevor Lawrence. How many games do you think the Jags can win next year?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting. Peyton Manning won three games his rookie year and set the rookie record for interceptions with 28. And he's one of the great players. He tells everybody that, by the way. He's hoping the next rookie will come and break his record. He said that to Kyle Trask and Trevor and all these guys. But he won three games. The Colts, with Andrew Luck, went from 2 wins to 11 in their first year. Now, they probably had a better team than a team that won 2 games, but they made a big jump. Look, I think Urban's a really good coach. I really believe that. He guys play hard for him. You ever see an Urban team not play hard? They all play hard. Mm-hmm. He understands how to get the kids. Now, it's a different paradigm in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence is pretty good. Can they go from 1 win to 6 or 7? I think they can. There's 17 games now, Shane. I think 6 or 7 wins is realistic. I don't think 12 wins is realistic after you won one last year, but I think they'll be a better football. There's still some things they got to get done. I'm not sure they have a slot receiver yet. I might have gone, if it had been me, I probably would have gone Elijah Moore at 25 and Christian Barmore at 33. They went Travis Etienne and then Tyson Campbell, two fast guys. And again, but I'm still not sure they have a slot receiver, not much depth along the offensive front, and a quarterback that's never played. So there's some questions, but 6 or 7 wins, I think, is realistic on the upside. I'll tell you this, there is excitement, Shane, in this city like there's not been. You're around here a lot. You get the Jags a lot. There's excitement here that there hasn't been about the Jaguars in a long time. 13 of the last 14 years are losing seasons. 13 of 14 losing seasons. you know, that one great season in 17. But other than that, they really struggled. So the fact that people are this excited, they're selling tickets, really selling them. So there's excitement around here for the first time in a while.
Well, speaking of excitement, obviously the news broke, I think, last week about old Timmy T trying to go play tight end for the Jags and his old college coach.
Yeah.
Do you, Frank, think they're going to sign him? My personal opinion, and I love Tim, I just don't think he can play tight end at that level because I've seen it personally and talking with the Ben Troops of the world, they don't think he can either. But do you think Urban rolls the dice and signs him?
Yes, I think he's going to go to camp. Why not? Won't cost anything. So I think he's going to go to camp. I think he's going to go to camp with them. Let me give you my thoughts on the whole Tebow thing. And you know way more about this. Ben Troop certainly knows way more about it than I do. But I'll give you my take on it. The way the NFL has changed it's a different league than it was 10 years ago. It's way different league when you played in it, Shane. All this RPO, and there's more of a horizontal element to the NFL. College and pro have never been closer in terms of how they play. I think what Taysom Hill does, some wildcat, some gadgety stuff, some stuff they tried to do with Trey Burton a little bit early on in his career. I think 25-year-old Tim Tebow would be a great fit. Whether he could play tight end, H-back, run some wildcat with him, the stuff that Taysom Hill does. I think a 25-year-old Tim Tebow would fit this league perfectly. My question is, how will a 34-year-old Tim Tebow fit it? That's what I don't know. Now, look, if anybody's in shape, it's him, Shane. But can a 34-year-old man, even him, who's a workout fanatic, I just saw him, he looks great. But even him, can he, at 34 years old, having never played the position, that NFL is a pretty good league, though. You know, can he do it in the NFL? I don't know. But hey, why not? Well, I mean, he wants to do it. He and Urban are very close. Go out there to camp. Doesn't cost you very much. If he does make it, by the way, now tight ends can wear number 15. You know, all the rules have changed. You can wear whatever number you want now. So let's assume he does make it, 16 throwing to 15, they'll sell enough in jerseys to pay for that salary. So I think it's worth trying. I think, do I think it'll work out 50-50? Do I think he'll be on the team? Maybe not even 50-50. Maybe it's a long shot. But why not go to camp? Why not go to camp and have some fun with it?
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I have a hard time seeing Tebow put his hand on the ground blocking Aaron Donald. You know what I mean?
Well, 34-year-old Tebow.
Yeah, 34-year-old. And yeah, he's big. He's big, strong, in shape, all that. Yeah. But every tight end in the NFL is big, strong, and in shape. And I think it'll be a great story. Now, if he does wear 15 and makes the roster, is Gardner Minshew still on the roster?
Gardner's on the Minshew. He is 15. I can't imagine Gardner's going to be here. I think, and that's no knock on him, Gardner Minshew deserves a chance to go play. I think Gardner Minshew would be a better backup somewhere else where he hasn't been a backup before. Remember, all the mania here, man, all the as crazy as it was and then it went away, I think, in my opinion, he's still on the roster. It's in Gardner Minshew's best interest to not be on the team. Now, if he is and he's the backup, he beats out C.J. Beathard and it's a backup, so be it. But I'd be a little surprised. I think Gardner can, you know, Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback here for a long time. But can Gardner go back up someone and have a chance to play if somebody gets hurt or maybe even fight for a job? I think he's earned a chance to get another crack at that. So I don't think he will somewhere. That'd be my guess.
So this staff went out and signed C.J. Beathard from the 49ers. What was his contract like? Do you know?
I don't, but it's not much. It's not going to cost, but they went and signed it. You know, they talked to Alex Smith. You probably know that. Urban, they brought Alex in here. Urban's really close to him from the days in Utah. Would have loved to have him mentor Trevor Lawrence. He's a good person. He knows the league. Trevor's personality, Shane, are very similar. They would have loved to have had Alex come in here. Again, they flew him to Jacksonville. He looked around. He just didn't want to do it. My guess is, all that work, you saw the E60. We all saw the knee injury. It was awful. I can't believe, I'm guessing now, I don't know this. I can't believe Alex Smith put in all that work to go be a backup. He put in all that work to try and play one more time, and he did. And now Urban also said some of the medical people, he had some concerns. So I don't even know if he got cleared to play here. Might not have gotten cleared. But, I think CJ's a guy they're familiar with. They want someone, you know, with a young quarterback, you don't want to bring in a guy that expects to start. I even saw a little bit of that in Miami last year. Fitzy was playing pretty well, But they wanted to play Tua. He was their fifth overall pick. They were gonna, you're gonna play the fifth overall pick. And I thought there was some friction. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's such a good guy, you could sense the friction there. You saw it. We all saw it. You can't have that. The guy that comes here to back up Trevor Lawrence has to understand his role. You're the backup. Trevor's the star. How do you support the cause? Understanding all that. And my guess is C.J. Beathard's in line with all that.
Yep. We're speaking with Frank Frangie. A few more minutes with Frank. You can follow him on Twitter at @Frank_Frangie. Speaking here on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. I want to get your thoughts on Trask going to Tampa. I think it's a great situation. I think everybody does. And then I want to get your thoughts on, you know, a lot of the Gator Nation was upset with Trayvon Grimes not being drafted. But I thought it was interesting that maybe the Jags did call him. You know, Urban was his coach that recruited him, and he played at Ohio State. Do you have any idea if the Jags were interested in Trey Grimes?
I have no idea. And I haven't had a chance to ask that question. I will ask that question. Usually when a guy goes undrafted, there's a reason. I really wonder how fast he is. Now, look, everybody ran well at the hand-timed pro days, but that's not like the combine, Shane. You know that. I wonder if he should have come back, by the way. Kadarius Toney comes out a year ago. He's what, fifth round at best? Doesn't know how to play receiver, gadget guy. He came back 1 year and got himself into the first round. Grimes, in retrospect, should have come back. I don't know how fast he is. He's certainly a high-point guy. He can go up and get it. There's a lot of those guys now, though. You got to run in this day and age. And I wonder if he's not fast. And I don't know this. You probably know better than I do. I wonder if he's fast enough. Good player. But the other thing, too, is he's a good player at Florida. Never took over a game. Kyle Pitts took over games. Toney took over games. They just took the game over. I thought the guys the year before, I thought Freddie Swain took the game over here and there. I don't know that I ever saw Grimes do that. He looks the part now. 6'4", looks great in that uniform, got good hands. Made some big plays. The ball in the corner of the end zone against Georgia, out jumping Patrick Surtain in the championship game against Alabama. I remember the big plays, but I don't know if he's a fast guy. So I don't know. I'll ask about the Jags whether they had interest. I don't know. As for Trask, you riddle me this. You know this better than I do. Why was everyone down on Kyle Trask? They say he's not mobile, but I watched him move in the pocket. He moved around plenty in the pocket. He always had a great pocket sense. He's got a good arm. It may not be John Elway's rifle arm. I thought he'd go in the late first, middle second. He went late second. I think he's going to be a terrific player. Obviously, like you said, the right place. He'll be under Brady. He'll be under Arians. They really like him there. Everyone says Kyle Trask went because everyone that talks about him says, well, you know, he's persevered and he didn't transfer. It shows what a good kid he is. Well, that's all fine. He's also pretty good. He threw for 4,300 yards. Before that championship game when he had no receivers, he had 43 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. 43-5 against all SEC competition. How in the world was he not more highly regarded? That's shocking. Did it shock you? It did me.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, he doesn't have great feet, but as you said, he does move in the pocket well. And I think I don't know if he'll ever be a starter in the NFL, and I don't really care. I know he's going to be a guy that's going to last maybe longer than I did because he's a great teammate. He does have talent. He's a big dude. He can take the beating. So we'll see. You know, and I've told people he may not end up being the guy that replaces Brady. You never know. And they may trade him somewhere, but he's a guy that will last a long time.
And I'll tell you what, Shane, a lot of people think he may not ever start. I don't see that. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but he darn sure could be Kirk Cousins or Andy Dalton or a super smart guy that plays for a long time in the league. I'd be surprised at some point. I bet he starts for a team somewhere.
Before we let you go, I know you're a baseball guy. I want to get your thoughts on Gator baseball. They're pretty hot right now. Do you think they can jump into one of those top 8 seeds, Frank?
Well, that's the thing. They're 10th now in Baseball America. Sully did something ingenious, and you guys have probably talked about it. Ingenious. He's got two big-time pitchers, and Tommy Mace and Jack Love. He's got two. You play 3 games on the weekends, okay? You got two pitchers. And Hunter Barco's terrific, by the way, the second-year player from over here in Jacksonville. But he's got two real studs in Mace and Leftwich, plus his starter, Barco. He's found a way, by moving Leftwich to the bullpen, have you noticed this, Shane? He's found a way to get Leftwich in 2 of those 3 games. Yeah. So now Mace and Leftwich pitch in all 3 games. That is genius. So they start Alamon. They get to Leftwich at some point on Friday, okay, some point. Mace pitches Saturday. Barco starts on Sunday. They go back to Leftwich. So he's found a way to take his two horses, Mace and Leftwich, and use those two guys in all 3 games. So They're playing well right now. Yeah, I think they're going to get it. I think they're going to. They're certainly going to get a regional. Can they get a national seed and get a super? We'll see. Big series against Vanderbilt. Winning that Sunday game was critical. Look, they're at Kentucky, who can be sneaky good, and that's a road series. Georgia is pretty good. They come back home to play them, and then they got to go travel to play the best team in the conference and maybe the best team in the country. So it's not easy. But, yeah, I think they're playing better than they have. He's got his lineup right, too, by the way. There's Hickey second, Fabian third, Armstrong, because he's a big guy, fourth, and McMullen fifth. He's got his lineup right. Leave the lineup alone, hit a bunch of home runs, see what happens. Yeah, I think I'd be more surprised if they're not a national seed than if they are.
Yeah. Last thing, you do tremendous work with your charity, Walk Off Charities. Tell us real quick what it's all about, and if anybody wants to donate, what they need to do.
Shane, thanks for asking. I won't go long yet. It's walkoffcharities.com. What we've done is we've built a charity over here that helps inner city children play baseball. You know the stat. In the 70s, 27% of all major leaguers were African-American. Now it's only 7%. It's become a suburban sport, a rich kid sport, and we're trying to mitigate that a little bit. Over the weekend, I'm really proud of this. We launched the league with 31 teams from 10 different parks, all inner city children who are in spanking new uniforms, thanks to our friends at Baker Sports. And it's one of the most, it touched me more than anything I've ever been involved in, Shane. So we're helping little kids with brand new uniforms and brand new gloves. Kids in Jacksonville who are 9 and 10 years old who've never even seen the beach. It's just a tough life. And so we're trying to help them. So thank you for asking about it. Walkoffcharities.com. People can donate or ask more questions about it. And we'll take all the help we can get. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's cool seeing the pictures because some of these kids, they don't even know how to wear their baseball uniform.
They don't know. Shane, they don't know if they're left-handed or right-handed. You know, but they love having that uniform, boy. They're having a big time. They really are.
Yeah. Frank, appreciate you taking time to talk about the Jags, my man. We'll get you back on here pretty soon. Be safe. Hit them straight today.
All right, Shane. Anytime. Thanks, buddy.
That's Frank Frangie joining us on the Titan More Highline. Going to take our second time out of the program. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this Wednesday edition. Thanks, Frank.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems.